The year is 1943. World War II has brought the world to its knees. Two not-so-young inventors are released on parole after a 10-year stay in Alcatraz.
Sven Ingeborg. Henry Mossmouth. I find your attitudes maudlin, your personalities cloying, and your visages disturbing. I would let you rot if I could. However, the nation is hemorrhaging men, and I've been instructed to free those deemed non-violent. Scurry now, my little pussycats. Flee.
Institutionalized and obsolete, our heroes rocket into an unknown world ravaged by war. Will they turn the rising tides of doom? Find out on this week's episode of Bubble Boys.
Looks like we're pinned down, fellas. I'm Sven Ingeborg. This is Henry Mossmouth from Squad 13.
Hi, 10-4.
Hi.
10-4.
10-4.
I'm sorry. My name's Roy Cristino. I'm from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of New Jersey.
You've never heard of Atlantic City, New Jersey?
Isn't that where they have prostitutes?
It's where they have casinos, prostitutes, singers, the whole racket. Big bands, small bands, streets wider as Chicago.
Man, that sounds like a slick town.
Yeah, sing for him, Roy.
Luck be a lady tonight, Atlantic City's no fright. Be a gal or be a guy, there's nothing you can't touch in the sky. Clouds will part, rains will pour, money will shout, girls are whores. Atlantic City, New Jersey, the United States of America.
Oh, ain't that just as sweet as it gets?
Yeah.
What's your name?
I'm Eugene Buck from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, they got a lot of music there.
Yeah, I can play the guitar pretty well, and if you give me a bucket and a string and a chord, I can I can make a bass.
I'm sorry, I don't have those things.
Okay.
That's cool, man.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, speaking of cool, you can call me Casey Cool.
Oh, hey, Private Cool.
You don't have to call him that. It's not his real name. You're trying to start this thing in the war. That's not even what your name is.
Well, it's going to be my name when I move to New York City. I'm going to be a saxophone player.
You got to get a saxophone first.
Shut up. Why? You guys are always picking on me. My brother lives in New York City, and he writes me letters every week and tells me how cool the bebop scene is there.
Maybe you'll win a saxophone after the war. Sven says if we're all good in the war, we'll all get prizes.
Is that true?
And you can also trade in whatever medals you get at the pawn shop for cash.
Oh, man, I hope I get a prize of, like a cool car or, like, a date with Miss America or, like, a whole bunch of cheeseburgers or, like, glasses that are dark so, like, when I look around in the sun, it doesn't hurt my eyes so much.
Yeah, well, when we get out of here, we get to have a meeting with the president. And anything you ask of the president after you've served in a war, you get.
Do you just get one wish?
Well, I know what I want.
What's that, Mr. Cole?
I want to do a duet with Charlie Parker. Do you know who he is?
No.
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 You're going to know who he is. He's a saxophone player, and that guy's on the cutting edge.
It's like being, you know, in the war where everything's so hard has kind of made you a better artist. You know what I mean? You've experienced stuff, and you're letting it out through your music.
Do you think that's really true? You think I could take all this with me back to New York and make something of it?
I've heard real artists talk about that in Atlantic City when they're done with, like, a show.
And in Nashville, sometimes they'll talk about it, too.
I don't see there's anything that can stop me.
Yeah, man.
Dig it.
What are some other things that jazz people say?
They say stuff like, crown me.
What's that mean?
That just means that you just got off stage, you had a hot set, and they want you to pour a beer on them.
Is it true, Mr. Cool, that all jazz players smoke grass?
It absolutely is.
Doesn't it drive him crazy?
Do you want to find out?
Whoa, that thing stinks.
I showed it to both my buddies here, and they love it.
It relaxes me in a cool way, and I feel like colors look different.
I like being around it. I wouldn't stick that thing in my mouth, though.
You guys want to give it a try?
Well, I don't want to ever say that I've never done something. We may never get out of here alive.
Yeah, why not? You might as well go out cool. You know, you'd fit in real well with a lot of my cool buddies.
Well, I don't go anywhere without Henry, which makes me substantially less cool.
Sorry.
There's something about you, though, man. I don't know, like a kind of pureness in your eyes that I think you'd fit in, too.
Yeah, well, don't bogart that thing. Give me a puff here.
All right, let me roll it up. Just pass the music down.
No, thank you. Yikes.
Oh, that's the way.
I like him.
Yeah!
Woo! Yeah, you always get rowdy on this stuff, Eugene.
Oh, man.
Hey, Roy. You ever see any ghosts?
You know, come to think of it, I think I got a ghostly encounter. Last week, we were, just walking through a field. And, a couple Germans come over, and they're shooting at us, so I shoot one right in the head. And he looks at me, and in perfect English, he says, "Why did you do that to me?" German says that in perfect English. So he dropped dead.
What'd you tell him?
I was shivering. I just said sorry, but then I realized that my buddies heard me say sorry. You guys heard me say sorry.
Yeah, we heard it.
So I felt bad about that, too.
We were mad.
It was a bad day.
You're not supposed to say sorry, because then that makes us feel like we're doing something wrong, and we're not.
Yeah, you can't be apologizing every minute, everyone you shoot. You can't say sorry all the time. You gotta post up, get some cover, just open fire, and mow people down. And you can't apologize if they're the bad people.
I made that mistake one time.
What do you mean?
Oh, Casey, you don't have to tell this story if you don't want to.
No, I'm supposed to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Captain said.
I accidentally put a bunch of bombs where they weren't supposed to be.
Where?
By all the place where Buddy was sleeping at.
Did you blow them up?
6,000 guys. Their body parts strewn all over. And I was sleeping behind a brick wall because I was on punishment. And I wake up to all the sound of these bombs going off. And I got body parts hitting me in the face and hitting me in the back. I'm trying to run out, but the body parts keep on coming and hitting me.
To make sure that he wasn't sent home, the three of us kind of split the blame.
That was huge of you guys.
Hey, we got a Purple Heart for it.
You got injured during it?
Yeah. He was the only one behind bricks. I was only behind straw.
And I was behind sticks.
So they were pretty much okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Is that why you have all those straw lashing marks all over your face and arms?
Yeah. They call me Cat Scratch Face.
Do you mind if we call you Cat Scratch Face?
I don't mind. It make me feel like I was at home.
You fellows and the other men in the armed forces are like brothers, but there are things I miss.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm in Menominee. Things I miss are wrapping my lips around the teat of a cow and sucking fresh milk right out of it.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Is it warm or cold?
It's warm.
It's warm. Yeah, I've done it.
I miss throwing bricks into the quarry. Going out to the graveyard with a pretty girl from school in the middle of the night. Trying to call up her ancestors to get permission to marry her.
Oh, man.
Small town things.
Today was so beautiful outside. It just made me think of what I'd do on a day like this if I was back home, I'd get up not till 10 a.m. and go walk down to the ice cream shop and order a strawberry cone. And then when they'd bring it, I'd say, "Hey, I ordered vanilla." And they'd say, "I'm sorry." And they'd give me the cone for free. And they'd probably bring me a vanilla cone too. Then I'd go and probably get a stomach ache and find a doghouse to crawl into. Just tell my troubles to the dog, and by the time the dog was sick of that, I'd be falling asleep.
For me, usually this time of year, Atlantic City, there's a lot of gamblers staying for weeks, and then... So me and my friends, what we'd do is, the guys would throw on their white t-shirts, and we'd slick back our hair, and the girls would wear bows around their neck, and we'd get into somebody's old car or somebody's truck, and we would just ride around the streets with our hair blowing in the wind, listening to the radio and saying hi to our friends. And then we'd go to the strip and, there'd be some old gambler and we'd knock him in the head with a club. Watch him squirming around and say, "Go home! This is our state, this is our city." We'd laugh and laugh and laugh. Anyway, that's me.
I miss hitting trees with sticks. Yeah.
It really touched me.
Hey, thanks, man. You should come visit.
I'd love to.
It's the Athens of the South. The Athens, Greece of the South.
Center of culture, reason, and light. I always talk about New York City, but I'm from this little town called Kerbside, Illinois. Ain't too much there. It's a town of 7 people. It's my family and there's one other family. And so we get to know each other pretty well. But all that I ever do
drive for 45 minutes into the next town over, that's Brunswick, and go to the record store, pick up a couple of jazz records, take them home. Me and my dad sit on the couch and listen to them, and we just spin them over and over and over again. Sometimes, you know, if he's in a good mood, he'll get out a little bit of gin for us, and we'll make a couple of cocktails, and we pretend we're in a club in New York City, you know? So much fun. We get up and we dance together and take turns who's the club owner and who's his wife, or who's the jazz musician and who's his wife, or who's the daughter and the mom and the whatever, you know? But we just turn that music on, and all of a sudden we're in this kind of magic reality where none of the normal rules apply. I mean, my dad can be anything that we want. Sometimes we even mess around and pretend that we're animals or something. Just run around the house. Miss it.
What's that tattoo on your foot?
The tattoo on my foot? It's a harp. Do you want to know what it's for?
Are you Irish?
No, it's...
Are you an angel?
Come on, man. Look at my face. You can tell I had pimples when I'm a kid. I'm not an angel. It's from when I was back home. The harp is a symbol of heaven, and it's because when I was a kid, 13, 14 years old, I put these bombs by the school that I went to, and they blew up, and I wasn't supposed to put them there, and I was on detention behind the brick wall, and so I was okay, but I'm running out because I hear this sound, and I immediately know what happened, and there's just body parts flying at me, and arms and legs split off, and just, it was terrible, so I got that harp just to remember all the souls of all the kids that, because of my screw-up, went up to heaven.
How was it an accident?
Well, they told me to put the bombs in the garage. Instead, I don't know what I was thinking, but I put them by all the classrooms in the school and set them to on and went out to my detention and boom, boom, boom. And they all went off, and I felt like crap.
You put separate bombs in front of multiple classrooms?
And I messed up, and I know it, and I spent about the next month hearing about it. Everybody in town asking me what I did and why I did it, and me having to try my best to explain it.
But so you got the tattoo as a little kid?
Yeah.
Hey, Roy.
Beep-bop-ba-doo. Yeah, what do you want to know?
What's the craziest thing you ever seen in Atlantic City?
Ever heard of the singer Pat Lee?
Swingin'
Pat Lee?
Like every time I turn on the radio.
Yeah, well, anyway, he came to Atlantic City. He was doing a month at the Pyramid Hotel.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah, isn't it like they all the girls dress and like walk sideways? They dress like Egyptians.
They have to walk sideways in a room costs $17 a night. Oh. 17 bucks for one night.
Ooh.
Isn't that that place cool. And there's a pencil sharpener in every room shaped like a pyramid?
There's a pencil sharpener in every room.
Is it true all the maids shave their heads and wear wigs like the Egyptians?
Yes.
I heard the original owner and all of his family's all in the basement locked up in this room. They're dead bodies.
Yes.
It's all full of gold.
Yep. Yeah.
And I heard that even though there's hundreds of rooms, there's a single room that they switch every night that has a live cobra in it.
Yes.
And if you get it, you know, that's on you.
Yes, which leads me to the story about Swingin' Pat Lee. Turns out he gets the cobra room one night.
Oh, no.
And his number one song at the time was Help Me, Help Me. You remember that one?
Yeah. Help me, help me.
Yeah, well, people thought he was practicing in his room, and they woke up and he had a poisonous bite on his neck.
What happened?
They suck the venom out. One of the old guys who takes care of the suitcases. He goes on that night.
He still plays his show?
Still plays his show. Wow. He couldn't use his legs, though, because they were still paralyzed. People said, come on, stand up, Pat. And he said, I wasn't paid enough.
Show business.
Show business.
I complain about being in a war.
Try singing in Atlantic City, or even New York City for that matter.
Yeah, New York City is a whole other beast too.
The hardest life possible. You wouldn't get it, Eugene, you country bumpkin stupid idiot.
Yeah, I've seen like pictures and I saw a movie once where it was in New York and I don't get it.
You couldn't have dragged me away from New York City if I would have got there.
You would have dodged the draft?
Hitler's a bad guy and I know that. But there's other stuff that's important too, like making art and making music, you know? Somebody's got to do it. Otherwise, we got nothing to fight for.
How are you going to get your saxophone if you don't get to make a wish at the end of your service?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Hitler made art.
What?
Hitler was an artist.
Hitler was an artist.
Or still is.
I mean, is an artist.
I doubt that he has enough time to paint, given the current situation.
Oh, if I see one of his paintings, I'm going to grab that sucker from the wall, I'm going to put it through his head, and then I'm going to poke his eyes, rip those eyebrows right off his forehead, and I'm gonna slam them into his mouth and make him eat his own hair.
If I saw one of those paintings, I think I would like crash it down over his head to where his arms were pinned to his chest, and then I would get like a pig and gut it, and then I would put all of the pig intestines in his mouth until he was kind of like throwing up, but I would still keep pushing the intestines down, and then I'd take his girl and kiss him right in front of him.
That's pretty cool, man. If I saw him and I saw one of his paintings on the wall, I don't know, I guess I'd ask him kind of what brought him to this place, and I'd try to use the painting as a way to understand him as a person.
What I would do is I would ask him to show me all of his work, and then I would criticize it from his first earliest painting all the way through his development and do his current work. And I'd demoralize him artistically until he was overcome with the thought of suicide and blew his own brains out. Catch that blood and those brains on a canvas, sign my name, and become the world's most famous artist.
Bet you could sell that painting for $1 million.
Did somebody drop this dollar on the ground?
No, not me.
Not me.
Get your guns ready, fellas. Oh.
It's got a little string attached to it. I'll just follow it back to the source and see what...
The Germans have tried to pull this thing on Henry and me before. It worked the first time. That's where Henry lost his pinky.
Oh, gross!
Weird. Well, you know, we all saw ghosts in the area. Maybe it's a ghost trick. Maybe it's a ghost trick. Is it a ghost trick?
Quiet down, you old dumb hillbilly. Oh, Eugene's asleep. That's about the cutest thing I've ever seen. Hey, let's see if we can change his dreams by whispering in his ear. Who's in? I'll start. Eugene, you are on a hill with a glass of lemonade. Mm. Uh-oh, you spilled the lemonade on your pants.
Oh no.
You better wipe it up.
I gotta wipe this lemonade off my pants.
Yeah, and it's really wet. It's really wet. You better make your pants wet.
I've got to make my pants more wet.
Eugene.
Oh, yeah.
Eugene, you're a baby. You're a little baby with a big baggy diaper.
Oh, goo goo gag gag.
You're in the middle of a field, and there's a gusty wind blowing.
Oh,
it blows through your diaper.
Why?
And because it's so baggy, it picks you up and carries you away.
Oh, where? No, where?
You fly away from your family.
Oh, Ma, Pa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you guys won't believe the dreams I just had.
Oh, I think we would. Buddies in the war, huh?
Yeah.
Buddies in the war. Hey, come on.
Henry.
Henry.
What's going on?
Just thinking about everyone back home who doesn't get to pal around with us, you know, and, like, doesn't probably have any buddies in the war. There's so many people over here, it's gotta be practically empty over in America by now.
Well, Henry, all that means is we have to do our duty so we can get back there and spend some time with those people who are lonely.
Yeah, I'd like to volunteer after the war.
What do you want to do, build houses?
Well, sure. Like, go to old person homes or read books to zoo animals or something and, you know, try to help out and kind of apologize for...
I was talking to another buddy of mine, and they said Philadelphia only has 60 people in it right now because of the war. Would you believe that? Philadelphia.
Wild. And before that, there had to be how many? Like 8,000, 9,000 people?
Yeah, something around there. This war does things to a world.
Yeah, empties it right out.
Do you worry that with all the people on one side of it, that world might tip over or get spin towards the moon or something?
I think that with all the people that are in Europe right now, it might collapse. And we might get sunk down through a hole and
what?
Burn up in the Earth's core, which is lava.
What, are you kidding?
No, I believe that.
Well, I read a book once that just underneath the Earth is like a place where giants are. And then underneath that, ogres. There's actually like lots of layers. I think the core is diamonds.
Well, Eugene, even if we are in a pit full of ogres and giants, that's not going to be... so good.
Yeah, that's nice. It's still not a place I want to be.
Yeah, but it'd be cool. Like, in the book, it was pretty cool.
If I ever saw an ogre, I'd wrestle it.
Huh? What if it was 6'2"?
That's not that much taller. I mean, that's...
6'3".
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
You're crazy, man.
You are crazy.
The only way I wouldn't wrestle an ogre is if it had both girl and boy parts, and its skin was, like, bark.
That would be a bad one.
Yeah. I don't think I would wrestle that ogre either. Would you?
I don't think... that just sounds like it would make me feel so damn weird.
What, ogre or not, he saw somebody with one of those and one of those. God, I get the willies just thinking about it. That ain't right!
I saw a person like that in the circus once.
They came to Atlantic City. I seen that.
Yeah.
It was born just one day out of nowhere. They unburied somebody, and that was the thing that was in the casket. And then it jumped right out. But good thing, because it was in the backyard of the circus wrangler. And he got it, and he put it in a cage the next day and made $1,000. Yeah, they put lipstick on it and then put like a guy's hat. They try to confuse you.
It is confusing because you're also really attracted to her, but you're also like, he seems like a guy I'd like to get a cup of coffee with.
Smart about the news, but yet pretty enough to make you a cake.
Sounds like a perfect woman, man.
I don't know, you guys. I bet faced with the reality, you wouldn't be so quick to think this is a cool thing. If you really had a chance to marry something like that.
Hey, Casey, cool? Sounds like you're being really uncool right now.
What do you mean? Because, we can all agree
because
that
those Germans across the line, they have closed minds. I bet you they wouldn't have lunch with a he woman.
What are you saying? That I'm like them?
I'm just saying.
No, look, I'm going to be a jazz musician in New York City. There's nobody more open-minded than me. My identity is really tied up in this, man.
New York's got everything, so it probably has a bunch of men women roaming around.
God, you think so?
Yeah, you don't want to close your mind off because maybe one of those man women is the owner of one big hip-hop and scat-in jazz club.
And I wouldn't be able to go in there. You're right. Okay, back to reality for me.
Feeling a little more open-minded now? Can't believe you killed 12,000 people in two separate bombing incidents. You're a real sweetheart.
What can I say?
God loves some people and hates the others, right?
Oh, that reminds me. I got this sandwich that I found in one of those bombed-out buildings back there. Does anybody want a bite?
Oh, I'm starving.
Hey, there wasn't a bombed-out building over there.
Well, it was from a couple days ago.
Where'd you get that sandwich, Casey?
Look, don't worry about it. Aren't you happy that I have a sandwich?
I mean, I know that building had old people living in it.
What do you think happened? Think I went in there and took a sandwich from some old lady?
Did you blow it up?
Did you blow up that Italian old person home?
Was that noise I heard?
There were 3,000 people in that house. I didn't mean to do it. I was carrying all the bombs for the whole army. And I was supposed to put them into the well so that they would all go down there and not hurt nobody no more. It was the leftover bombs from after I blew up the camp by mistake. I went in there. I smelled a smell. It had to be something good. Somebody was cooking something. She was curing her own salami. This old, must have been 150-year-old woman. Beautiful old woman. I go in there and I ask her to make me some. She does. I leave the sack of bombs sitting on her kitchen floor. She says, "You're forgetting something." And I turn back at her and I laugh and say, "No, I'm not." And I walk out and didn't realize I left the bombs in this woman's kitchen. Walk out, sitting behind a wall, eating part of the sandwich. Kaboom. There she goes. I come out to see what happens. I'm just at body parts flying at me. Arms, legs. A head came right in my head and kissed me on the lips.
Hey, do you hear that?
That bird singing?
No one's firing.
Oh, weird. I wonder if the Germans went to sleep or something.
Pull your head up, Henry. Take a look.
Absolutely.
Do you see anybody?
No, I didn't see anyone.
And your face didn't get shot off.
Well, I hear all sorts of animals. Listen, you can hear chipmunks.
Huh. Oh, that's a stoat.
Animals have special senses. You know, they know when something's safe. When there's a storm or an earthquake, they run for cover.
You never hear about animals dying in no war. I'm going to pop my head up, too. It looks real clear. For real. Huh. No lion.
Let's go. Let's make a run for it.
Yeah, this is our chance. I can set up a bunch of the extra bombs we got near the entrance and cave it in as soon as we're out.
That way no German could ever come use it.
Well, will we ever see you guys again? Are you coming with us, or...?
We're heading south.
Oh, we're heading north.
We're heading straight north.
Well, fellas, I'll tell my children about you.
And if we're all still in one piece after the war, we'll see you at the awards ceremony at the White House lawn.
Yeah.
You're damn right. I'll be holding my gold-plated record right in front of me.
Will you sing us a song while we leave?
What kind of song you want?
Sing the one about old Mark Twain and the time he came to your small town.
Okay, I'll do it while I'm getting these bombs set up. Old Mark Twain was a wise old man, came a-wishing and a-walking to teach us. We learned so well his truths about the town. He told us we were greedy. He told us we were pigs. He told us we weren't worthy of the time we spent. So the kids became the mayors of the town, town, town. 30 mayors, all children age 8 or down. 30 children are making the new rules. 30 children tell adults when to come, when to go. And we ride on horses sitting backwards. It's all fun now.
Wait, what's that over there?
Oh no!
Run!
When Johnny comes marching home.
Bubble Boys, created by Steve Nelson and Andrew Tischer. Produced and directed by Tim Joyce. This episode improvised by Steve Nelson and Andrew Tischer with Mike Brunley, Scott Nelson, and Thomas Kelly. Please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bubbleboys and listen to more episodes at bubbleboys.podomatic.com. You can also rate us on iTunes. Love us, hate us, just let us know it.
Casey, you're dreaming of kissing your dad. And he's kissing you, but it's really long, and you want to get away from it.
Daddy, well, I'm not going to rush you, but whenever you're done, Daddy, let me go. I got to get outside and mow the lawn.
So, to escape, you have to transform into your dad.
Oh, I feel so powerful.
This is really damn funny.
Oh, I feel like I could do anything and dominate my son and hurt him.
Casey.
Any way that I please.
Casey, a fog rolls in through your dream and you're transported back to your normal body. You're sitting in an empty auditorium in your school. And then out of the wings, 6,000 ghosts of 6,000 dead children. Come in.
No.
Each of them with sharp, pointy ghost teeth.
It was a mistake.
Why did you leave the bombs there?